We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning. Welcome to Sheffield Community Church at home. We're pleased that you managed to log in. I hope you're able to comment just to let us know that you are receiving us loud and clear and that you're listening. It's a joy to have so many logging in. We pray that God will speak to you and that you will come out of this teaching a different person. So we still build up on the theme we started on 2 weeks ago on attitude for the next level. And this morning I'm reading from Genesis chapter 40 from verse 1 to 9. This is the story of Joseph. If you could turn on to Genesis chapter 40 verse 1 to 9. I'm going to go through it real quick, and then we can get into the message for the day. Some time after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against the Lord, their Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended to them. They continued for some time in custody. Verse 5. And one night they both dreamt, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with his own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, Why are your faces downcast today? They say to him, we have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. This is the reading of God's word. I want to speak to us today on the subject of check your attitude. Check your attitude. Imagine you receive news that someone you trust a lot has cheated on you on a large sum of money, or you have been unfairly criticized when trying to do your best. And to make things worse, the harder you try, the more things go wrong. Or those close to you have continually disappointed you, and you don't know what to do. Now, there are two things that you could do with that information. Number one, you can choose to be bitter. And number two, you can choose to be better. You need to check your attitude on this, because that choice is yours. When it comes to attitude, you have the power to choose whether to be bitter or to be better. So check your attitude. Even as we start today, I would like you to check your attitude, whether you are bitter or you want to be better. Whatever you choose, it will affect your present way of living, and it will even affect your destiny. Wherever you go, that issue of either being bitter or being better will have consequences for your life. Bitterness is unresolved anger that turns hateful because a person thinks that they've been treated wrongly or in some way they've been offended. It has the opposite effect of sugar. Whereas sugar sweetens everything in life, bitterness makes it sour. It destroys everything that it comes into contact with. In Hebrews 12, verse 15, the Bible tells us that, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. This scripture is saying that bitterness can actually make you miss one of the greatest gifts from God, the gift of grace. In other words, you can mess up on this unmerited favor that God wants to bestow on your life because of this issue of bitterness. Bitterness is like a poisonous weed that keeps growing and causes trouble and defiles every part of your life if you don't take control of it. So imagine Joseph, the story we just read today. Joseph finds himself in prison because of something he simply didn't do. the wife of a high official accused Joseph of trying to rape her. And they believed everything she said. And Joseph is thrown into prison. To make things worse, Joseph was trying to be a man of integrity. He was trying to honor God. And for that, he paid a price. And the price was very simple. He found himself in a dungeon. While in that prison, Joseph knew that there was one thing they could not take away from him. Yes, they could strip him of his dignity. They could strip him of all that he stood for. But there was one thing that they could not take away from him, and that was his attitude. He had the power to choose the attitude he was going to have, either to be bitter or to be better. Whatever he chose was going to affect his destiny. So Joseph checked his attitude. I want to ask you today, is your attitude on check? A preacher and a theologian called Charles Swindoll once wrote this. He said, your attitude is more important than facts. It is more important than your past or your education, than your money or circumstances, than failures or successes. Your attitude is more than what other people think or say or do. Your attitude is more than appearances, giftedness, or even skill. Your attitude is more than anything else. It comes out of the core of your being. It is your character. When we come to talk about attitude, we're talking about a big part of your life. A big part of your life that has so much that it can cause to your life, either to make you a better person or a bitter person. And today we want to pull out some lessons from this story of Joseph, lessons from Joseph's choice of attitude. We want to get into the story and find out what was it about this young man that made him become a better person. The number one lesson we can see from this is that when your attitude is right, you notice the needs of others. When your attitude is right, there is a tendency to notice the needs of others around you. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 6, the Bible says, when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. We know from chapter 39 that Joseph was in prison. And while in prison, the Bible keeps saying, and God was with him. And whatever Joseph touched, it prospered. So while he's in prison, he got a promotion, can you imagine, in prison to look after other prisoners. What a place to be promoted. If anybody ought to have had a sad face in that Egyptian prison, it should have been Joseph. His plight was much worse than anybody else because he finds himself in prison for something he did not do. He finds himself in prison, yet he was one of the best workers in the house of Potiphar. This is a guy you wouldn't want to find in a prison. This is a guy you want to see him in your company, being your friend, because he had such a fantastic work record. And he was a fantastic guy to be around. And yet he's in prison. And while in prison, there were two officials of Pharaoh who also were thrown into prison because the king was angry with them. But see, at this time, the king had not pronounced an execution order on them. So there was a slight chance that they were going to be released from prison. But for Joseph, it was a whole different matter. He was accused of something he did not do, and there was no fair trial, and he was a slave, a foreigner, with no rights, with nothing to stand on. And so he could have been in prison for all his life. Considering all this, right there in that prison, Joseph had the power to choose his own attitude. He could be bitter or better. He could give up fighting, he could give up living, and just say, whatever comes, I'm taking it a day at a time, I don't care. But this was not Joseph. In spite of Joseph's own circumstances, he was not angry with God. He could have chosen to be bitter with God, given the manner in which he landed in prison. Remember, it is God who gave him a dream. And it is God who allowed his brothers to sell him to Egypt. And Can you imagine Joseph processing all this in his mind and concluding that, my goodness, God really hates me. He could have picked an offense with God while in that Egyptian dungeon, locked up as a criminal, except that he was an innocent man. He had the power to choose what he wanted to do. And I'm glad that Joseph chose the right attitude. He was able to notice the plight of those two officers of Pharaoh. The Bible says they looked sad. They were dejected. They were worried. They were troubled while in prison. You know, in prison, there are all sorts of people, all kinds of people. And yet there was this one boy with the right attitude who noticed them. He gave them his attention. He noticed their needs. He went beyond just a passing glance, and he stopped for them. He was able to question them. Here is a young man who noticed people that needed help, and yet he himself needed to be noticed. When your attitude is right, you are sensitive to the needs of others in spite of your own. Jesus was a model of this attitude of noticing people wherever he went. It's an important attitude of noticing people that I need. We are told in the Gospels that Jesus noticed a blind man called Bartimaeus who was shouting out his name, calling out on his name from the other end of a parade that was passing through his city. And Jesus took notice of this blind man. The Bible tells us of a chief tax collector called Zacchaeus who was dangling on a tree, just desiring to catch a glimpse of the Son of God. And Jesus took notice of this man, stopped for him. We are told also in the Bible of a woman who was on a funeral parade taking her one and only son to bury her. And Jesus stopped for this woman because he noticed her. We are told of a woman who was demon-possessed. In fact, she had seven demons cast out of her by Jesus because Jesus noticed her and stopped for her in order to help her. This is the attitude that we speak about, that Paul touches on in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, when he says, we should have the same attitude as that which Christ had. And today, we can see this young man, Joseph, who also had that attitude, which was modeled by Jesus Christ, the attitude of noticing people around us. Who have you noticed of late who needs help? What attitude do you carry when you see someone who needs your help? Even this morning, Jesus notices you right where you are. If you reach out to him and call on his name, Jesus will respond to you. You see, it's his nature. This is the nature of Jesus Christ. It's his attitude that he responds when you call on his name. Jesus will respond when you seek him diligently with all your heart. It is his very nature never to ignore anyone who calls him by his name. So I encourage you this morning, if you could call out on him, he will stop for you. It doesn't matter who's in the parade. It doesn't matter who's with around him. If you call out on his name, if you reach out to him like that woman with the issue of blood, Jesus will take notice of you. Here is the second thing we learn about having the right attitude from this story. When your attitude is right, you reach out to others beyond yourself. When your attitude is right, you reach out to others beyond yourself. Genesis chapter 40, verse 7, the Bible says, so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, why are your faces downcast today? What a question. Joseph did not only notice the sad faces. He actually went a step further and engaged them. It's one thing to notice something about somebody, but it's quite a different matter to make contact and inquire with an intention to help. When your heart is right, even though the bottom has dropped out of your life, It's amazing how you still remain sensitive to the needs of somebody else. This was the heart of Joseph. We have so many people today who can do the first part of noticing that there is an issue with somebody or in somebody's life. But their intentions may not be the same as that of Joseph. Some people may notice you and engage you with an intention of feeding the grapevine. Some people may notice you and engage you with an intention of simply having general knowledge about some people's lives, their busybodies out there. But some people may not even bother to engage you because they don't want to be associated with a dejected person, with a troubled person, with a sad person. It does not do good for their ratings in public. Some people want to preserve their status, their reputation. They don't want to be associated with a person who's struggling to keep it all together. They don't want to be associated with a person with a sad face. It's bad for their credibility. There are people like that. We know them. We're not going to mention names today, but just tell your neighbor, God loves you. Some of us, when people come to us needing help, we are quick to say, you think you've got a lot to complain about? Wait until you hear my story. My story is worse than yours, so don't even start your story. Just listen to my story. Joseph was not like that. Sometimes we carry bitterness towards people. Imagine Joseph, what he thought about Potiphar and his wife. Imagine Joseph tossing on his bed in that warm prison cell in Egypt, struggling to sleep, and thinking, if only I could lay my hands, just one chance of laying my hands on Potiphar, I'm going to do something that has never been done before. Imagine if Joseph chose that attitude, a bitter attitude. Imagine where he would have been even by the end of his life. He could have allowed bitterness to take root in his heart. He had a choice. It was up to him. He could have done that. He could have harbored anger towards Potiphar and all Egyptians for that matter. But that was not the attitude of Joseph. He chose to be better instead of bitter. It didn't take him long to notice that Pharaoh's officials were not themselves that morning. So Joseph is the one who starts the conversation. He says, how come you're so sad today, guys? What's wrong? How could someone have the guts to even ask that kind of a question in a dungeon cell? Seriously? You are asking how I am in a prison cell where nobody bothers about how you feel, how you woke up, and nobody really cares whether you wake up alive or dead. This is an Egyptian prison. And yet there's this young man who thought beyond his own immediate cares and needs in order to minister mercy to others. He had the guts to ask, how are you feeling today? One of the beautiful things about the right attitude is that every single day has sunshine in it. You don't have to have cloudless days for there to be sunshine days. Your attitude changes everything for you. For this is the day that the Lord has made. You will rejoice every day you wake up because it is God who has made that day. Your attitude is right, not because of circumstances, not because of a prison cell, not because of what you dreamt last night, but because of Jesus Christ. You will have a different attitude. When your attitude is right, every day is a new day to reach beyond yourself. And here is the final lesson we can pick from this story of Joseph. When you have the right attitude, opportunities present themselves to you. When you have the right attitude, opportunities present themselves to you. Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, the Bible reads, they said to him, we have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. There is no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please. Please tell them to me. Joseph's attitude in prison is amazing because first, he impressed the prison guards and was given a promotion. Why was Joseph given a promotion? Were there no other prisoners in that prison? Of course they were there. But what was the difference? His attitude. Joseph had the right attitude. He checked his attitude and he decided to do something about it. He chose to be better instead of bitter. It was a decision he made. It wasn't a prayer request. It wasn't something he just dreamt about. He made a decision that I'll rather be better than bitter. Because of his awesome attitude, Joseph had an opportunity to meet all sorts of prisoners in jail, including the officers of Pharaoh, who found themselves in prison, in the same prison as him. You see, the dreams of the cupbearer and the chief butler were an opportunity for Joseph to shine in his gift of interpreting dreams. It took a right attitude for him to respond positively to their needs. And as he was responding positively to their needs, he was triggering an opportunity in his life. He had no idea that this was an opportunity coming in disguise because God had set him up. It turns out his way out of his need, the way out of his need was through availing himself to others, even when he himself needed attention. But he had to live beyond himself. He has to reach beyond himself so that he could tap into the dimension of turning problems into opportunities. And that takes God. It was through solving someone's problem that his gifting was announced in the palace of Pharaoh. And in that palace, there was a massive problem that nobody could solve except one man who was in prison. His name was Joseph. And not only one man, but one man with the right attitude. The right attitude was preparation for the opportunity that was coming his way. And the opportunity did present itself to him, but it presented itself in the form of a dream that Pharaoh dreamt that nobody in the whole land of Egypt could interpret except this young man with an attitude. Could it be that God is looking for a young lady with a right attitude? Could it be that God is looking for an old lady, an old man, a young little boy with the right attitude so that God could promote that person? Are you there today? Maybe your attitude could be blocking you from an opportunity that could change your life, never to be the same. So while it is true that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph, you remember Joseph, further down in chapter 40 there, Joseph says to the cupbearer, please do remember me when you go out there, because I'm in this place and yet I did nothing wrong. And the Bible says the cupbearer actually forgot about Joseph. But I want to look at it from a different point today. That I would like to take it this way, that the cupbearer actually remembered Joseph when it mattered the most. And that time was when Pharaoh was desperate for someone to interpret his dreams. And that is the time, that was the moment, that was the opportunity that the cupbearer had to remember what Joseph did while they were in prison. And from that moment onwards, Joseph was never the same man because his attitude took him to places he never ever dreamt he could be found in. You see, your attitude will show you an opportunity for ministry you never would have dreamt of going into. Your attitude will open ministries for you. Your attitude will take you to places you never thought you could ever think is possible. Your attitude will get you beyond hurdles, beyond obstacles, beyond everything that is limiting you. When your attitude is right, you will begin to tap into opportunities that will take you to the next level of your life. Whether it's your marriage, it will be taken to the next level because of your attitude. Don't let your attitude destroy your business. Don't let your attitude destroy your career. Don't let bitterness eat into your lifestyle, eat into your personality, and destroy you. You can be something else. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that Joseph. Do you remember his nickname? His nickname was Joseph the Dreamer. You remember the last time he spoke about dreams? His brothers threw him into a pit. And he was pleading for his life from that pit. And they heard his pleas. They took him out of that pit. And next thing he woke up, he was in a slave market in Egypt. Why? Because of his dreams. It is dreams that landed him in Egypt. It is dreams that put him in this country, in this land of Egypt, where he thought everything was going backwards. And here is Joseph thinking he could have been bitter with himself, kicking himself, saying, oh my goodness, I wish I'd kept my mouth shut. I wish I had not spoken anything about my dreams to my brothers. Then I would not have landed right here in Egypt. He could see himself as a failure, right in that prison cell, thinking about his life, thinking, I'm a failure. Why did I even tell them about my dreams? Look where I am today. Anger towards ourselves shows up in many strange ways. Sometimes anger shows up as self-pity, where we are angry with ourselves and we're feeling sorry for ourselves. We may be bitter towards ourselves because of some sin or failure that happened in the past. And with this kind of background in the area of dreams, you can imagine Joseph probably had every reason to be angry with himself. He had every reason to kick himself and say, why did I do that? Can you imagine? They are telling him about his dreams, their dreams. And what does Joseph say? I expected Joseph to say, oh man, just stay away with your dreams. I'm out of that thread of business. I'm out of that business of talking about dreams. Is that what Joseph did? Is that what Joseph said? No. What did Joseph say? He says, oh really? You had a dream? Tell me about it. What kind of a man says that? What kind of a man who has been through pits, who has been through chains, who has now landed himself in prison, who has been a slave, what kind of a man will still ask about dreams, yet his dreams that landed him in a foreign land? And yet he has got the audacity to say, tell me about your dreams. It's a different man. That kind of a man is a man with a different attitude. It's a man who has chosen to be better instead of bitter from his past experience. Whatever the past has done to you, whatever failures have done to you, I encourage you today, I exhort you today, I plead with you, choose to be better instead of being bitter. Choose a better attitude, for that is the way out of a terrible predicament. This man was different. In fact, this man reminds me of another man, a man called Jesus Christ. He too was falsely accused of something he did not do. The justice system was ramped up so that he could be put in prison and put on a cross as quickly as possible. So here is Jesus hanging on the cross for something he did not do. And then he says these earth-shattering words. He shocked the whole world of that time when he said, Father, forgive them. As he hung on that cross, Jesus chose to be better instead of being bitter towards the people that had put him on that cross. I want to finish by saying this. Whatever the cause of bitterness you have come through, whatever cause of bitterness you carry towards God, towards others, and even towards yourself, only Jesus Christ can help you through that dungeon. Only Jesus can help you through that cell. The Bible warns us that the root of bitterness will spring up. And when it does, what does it do? The Bible says, see to it that no bitterness grows up to cause trouble. Bitterness can only bring trouble in your life. There is nothing good that can come from bitterness. It can be destructive. It can cause you to live life going the wrong direction. It can cause injury and damage to those around you, your loved ones, those closest to you. When we have a root of bitterness, it destroys us. In fact, the Bible says bitterness gives Satan a foothold in your life. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, says, do not give the devil a foothold. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, along with every form of malice. God wants you to get rid of bitterness in your life. Is bitterness eating away your life this morning? Is it becoming an uncontrollable thing in your life this morning? Bitter or better attitude, the choice is yours. Joseph chose a better attitude, and God exalted him to the palace. He was a different man because he rejected a bitter attitude in his life. And he allowed God to heal him from all brokenness, from all bitterness. He presented himself to God. This could be your story today. You could speak, you could share this story of Joseph today. If only you could come to Jesus. He stands with open arms to receive you today. Confess your bitterness to him and ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse you and to renew your right spirit and attitude within you. And then sooner you will begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit kicking into your life and changing you from within. God is more than able to do this and is willing. If only you could pray with me this morning. I would like to lead you to Christ. I would like to point you to Christ as you close your eyes and I pray with you. Lord Jesus, as we pray today, we come before you. If there are any among us today who are hearing this message, struggling with bitterness, Lord, may you uproot that root of bitterness that wants to fester in our lives. Would you cleanse us of all traces of bitterness in us? Bitterness towards you, O God, forgive us. Bitterness towards loved ones around us, Lord, may you forgive us and cleanse us. Bitterness towards ourselves, we want to live a better life. We want to be like Christ. We want to have the same mind as that of Christ today, to be free of bitterness so that we can become a better people. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said, amen. May the Lord bless you. If God has spoken to you today, please do text us a message or email us. We want to hear from you. We also want to pray with you as you journey with us in this journey of attitude adjustment. May the Lord richly bless you, and we hope you'll be able to join us next week, 10:30, same channel. God bless you. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.